Welcome to the HR Room Podcast, the podcast series from Insight HR, where we talk to business leaders from around Ireland and share their advice on how to create the HR systems and workplace culture that's right for your business. For show notes and bonus content, simply visit www.insighthr.ie/podcast. And remember, if you need any HR support, get in touch with us at Insight HR. Whether it's conducting a complex workplace investigation, filling a gap by providing you with a virtual or on-site HR resource, or providing advice via our HR support line, we'll help you resolve whatever human resources challenge your business is facing. Okay, let's get started.
Hi everyone, my name's Sarah Marr and I'm joined today by Mary Cullen and Liam Barton, two of our HR consultants at Insight HR. Hi again, Mary. Hi, Liam.
Hi, Sarah.
Guys, last year we published an article on our website entitled "What If My Employee Refuses to Come Back to the Workplace?" And it's proven to be really popular. Now, it was originally written back in May when Ireland was actually just starting to emerge from the first wave of lockdown restrictions. And yet 8 months on, it still seems like a really relevant question. Now, the world of work has really kind of changed in that time as well. So it's interesting. It's an interesting topic to look at. And I thought Mary and Liam, who better to ask this question of than you two. But Mary, first things first, are employees actually entitled to refuse to go back to the workplace?
The simple answer is no, that they aren't entitled to say that they won't come back to the workplace. But I think it's a more complex situation than that, and the employer needs to be very careful in their approach to any employee who raises concern about coming back into the workplace. I think it's important to dive into that and understand, well, what are the factors, what causes someone to fear coming back into the workplace. You know, is the company up to date with its health and safety requirements? Can you guarantee safety? And I think that's a big challenge for employers. And you know, what is driving the refusal to come back to work?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I know that last year, Liam, we were seeing a lot of employees being unable to come back to the workplace because of issues surrounding childcare. But I think in the current climate that there's perhaps even more factors that might not necessarily have existed back then, such as the more widely accepted approach to remote work. Would you agree, or what factors do you see as contributing towards employee reluctance to come back to work?
Absolutely. I think it's a huge issue, Sarah. I think there's a range of issues. And one of the points I'd say is there's a general level of stress or unease or anxiety in relation to the general population, because we're being bombarded with negative commentary and negative statistics around COVID-19. I think what it has led people to be much more aware of their own health and well-being, and to try and do everything possible to minimize any risk to themselves. And I think when you have a backdrop of NPHET encouraging, where possible, people to remote work and to work from home, that's very much feeding into a dynamic where really a lot of people who hitherto weren't used to working from home have now got used to it. And so there's a general unease or fear about going back into the workforce. And I think one of the points that Mary's made is absolutely spot on. Employers can't guarantee that somebody won't contract or come in contact with someone who may have had COVID in the workplace. I think really all an employer can do is minimize the risk and have the correct protocols and procedures in place, but they can't give a blanket guarantee. And I think that's leading to a reluctance for some employees to return to work.
Do you think it is kind of all rooted in that fear of health and safety? Or like, do you think that, as you mentioned, employees have kind of gotten used to this new remote way of working and they don't really see why they should go back?
I think that's a big issue. I don't think it's all about fear or anxiety. Mm. I think some things that an employee may put forward is, well, look, I've heretofore, pre-COVID, I was told I couldn't work from home. It wouldn't be possible. Then when March 2020 came, lo and behold, it was possible immediately. I've successfully worked from home for the last 9 to 12 months. So why am I being required to come back into the workforce? And I think that's a difficult one for many employers to justify why somebody would be automatically brought back into the workforce when they've been successfully working from home.
It's a really difficult one to try and approach. Like, Mary, I'm going to head back to you for this one, but what steps do you think that HR can take if an employee refuses to come back to work?
Well, I think understanding first off what the factors are. And one of the things that employers are talking to us about are things, for instance, like the payment that people are receiving, the PUP payment, that sometimes that's actually in excess of the money that they were making while working. And so naturally there will be a reluctance to come back to work when financially they're better off not working. So I think that's something that needs to be factored into any thinking around, well, why might someone not wish to come back to the workplace? But to answer the question in terms of, well, what can the employer do? I would always say, in the first instance, you probably need to write to the person and invite them into a formal meeting, not a casual meeting, but a formal meeting whereby you're discussing with them, one, your desire for them to come back to work, and two, if they're reluctant to, why? What are the factors? Because, you know, for many people, they might have people who they decide are especially at risk. Maybe they know they're especially at risk. Maybe they are on improved financial circumstances at home. Maybe, like Liam said, they're more comfortable working at home and it better suits their family life and their arrangements. And allows them to save money on crash fees, et cetera, et cetera. There are so many factors that feed into this whole area that there isn't a simple answer to it. But the employer needs to start the communication process with the employee so that they can understand at least what is going on and see what they can do, see what kind of compromises they might be able to make or how they can encourage somebody back into the workplace.
And it's interesting you mentioned there that it should be a formal process. So, I mean, like, could a HR manager just call an employee and just ask them straight out, or you would definitely recommend to kind of have that formal process initiated?
Well, I think if someone's refusing to come back to work, you're into the whole area of, you know, absent without authorization. And at what point do you progress that into a formal process? And that's obviously for the HR manager or the employer to decide themselves if it's unreasonable for somebody to continue to refuse to come back to work. I mean, we have dealt with cases where there are people who have been absent now for months and employers not really knowing what to do, how to get them back to the workplace, whether it's reasonable or unreasonable to even ask them to come back to the workplace. And some jobs simply are not suitable to do from home. Some jobs require an on-site presence. You know, you absolutely can't mind a child remotely. It's not possible. You've got to physically be there. You can't provide care in a nursing home remotely. You've got to be there. And there's many other examples of, from production, food production.
Scanning items in a supermarket.
Manufacturing, yeah.
Supermarkets, all of those things. There's so many roles that cannot be done remotely. So it really is up to an employer to figure out what's going on and why the person won't come back to work and what steps should they take. And while I'm not suggesting that an employer takes disciplinary action, I think that would be extreme in the circumstances. Mm-hmm. And my first step would always be to communicate in writing, you know, you've been absent for this amount of time now, and I'd like to have a meeting with you to discuss when you might reasonably be in a position to return to work.
Yeah.
Otherwise, somebody is out on some form of leave.
And Liam, we touched on it briefly earlier, but I just want to go back to it for a second. What do you think it's going to mean for employers if employees have a legal right to request remote working, which might be coming into effect later this year, I believe?
Yeah, I think it's going to mean a number of things. I think it's going to mean they're going to have to look at their policies and procedures. I think they're going to have to look at updating those. They're going to have to look at IT, social media policies. I think they're going to have to look in a wider sense as how their business works. Because I think, you know, one thing is for sure, some aspect of remote working within our daily lives is here to stay. So I don't think we're ever going to go back to the norm pre-COVID. So some form of probably blended office-based working and home-based working for many people will be something that will become the norm. So I think now is the time for organizations to look at, as Mary has alluded to, what tasks can be done remotely, what flexibility is available, within those, build in that flexibility and build in those structures that allow people to safely operate and work remotely. Again, another area we possibly touched on in the past, Sarah, is the whole area of GDPR. If you have people who have access to confidential, sensitive information who are going to be working from, in many cases, their bedroom or the kitchen table or the living room or the garage, what protocols or protections are in place regarding the protection of sensitive information and employee data. So I think organizations are really going to have to take a long-term look. But in a positive thing, I think it can be seen as a benefit both for the employee and the employer in terms of cutting down on travel times, less stress in certain instances where people have long commutes, better productivity, better work-life balance, hopefully for many employers, better productivity. So I think something positive can come out of this dynamic.
And what does it actually mean to have a legal right to request remote working? I mean, I would have thought that we kind of had the right to request it anyway. Like, how will this change it?
Yeah, I mean, I think there was always, it was always available to the employee to request remote working or to request that they be allowed work from home. I think essentially what's being suggested at the moment is the employee would have a legal right to request from their employer that they be allowed to work from home. That doesn't necessarily mean that the employer will automatically have to grant that request, but I think what it will mean is that they will have to seriously consider that. And I would always encourage employers to look at it quite openly and quite positively to see, will it be possible for people to work? Have they looked at the flexibility? What type of questions do they need to ask? What sort of procedures or protocols or safeguards do they need to put in place? I think one area we haven't touched on is the whole area of working time legislation. There's still a requirement, albeit that people are remote working, to record hours of work, to make sure that employees are taking the appropriate rest breaks, to make sure that people aren't necessarily working from 7 to 9 at night and not taking appropriate rest breaks and periods away from the laptop or the computer. So there's still a requirement for certain employment legislation to be complied with. So again, employers need to factor that into their long-term plans.
Mary, I saw that you had shared an article on LinkedIn about the recently reported case of a worker who successfully won a constructive dismissal claim after her employer actually refused a remote working request. Has this changed your approach to requests for remote working?
Yeah, I mean, anytime there's a successful WRC claim, employers always have to sit up and consider, what was that ruling and how will it impact on my workplace? I think that case was very interesting because, you know, the employee had put forward alternative proposals to her employer, about the possibility of blended working, which was to have, you know, only one person in an office of three in at a time. In the ruling, the adjudicator found that the employee had no real option but to resign after her employer failed to take reasonably practicable steps to mitigate the risk posed by COVID-19 in the workplace. And that the employer had failed to implement the proposals made by the three office workers that would have eliminated that possible risk of COVID being transmitted in that workplace. And, you know, I think that's a really interesting case because it puts it up to employers in some respects. So Liam talked about, you know, the right to request remote working. That case puts another slant on it, doesn't it? It makes it all the more important for the employer to go through some kind of a process with the employee to really examine that whole area. And like everything when it comes to claims and litigation in the employee arena, it's really about paper trail, consideration, fairness, reasonableness. In that case, that employer felt that all three employees needed to be together at the same time, even though the office space was quite small. And therefore, it was reasonable for that particular employee to resign and take and successfully win a constructive dismissal case. And it's not easy to win a constructive dismissal case. Mm-hmm. So I would say employers need to sit up.
Guys, that's all we have time for today. It has been truly insightful, as always. Thanks for your wisdom and thanks to our listeners for tuning in.
Thanks for joining us today on the HR Room Podcast, the podcast series from Insight HR that helps you create the human resources systems and workplace culture that's right for your business. For show notes and bonus content, go to www.insighthr.ie/podcast. That's www.insighthr.ie/podcast. We'd love it if you subscribe, like, and share the show with any friends and colleagues who are looking for fresh ideas on how to create the ideal workplace for their business. And remember, if you need any HR support, get in touch with us at Insight HR. Whether it's conducting a complex workplace investigation, filling a gap by providing you with a virtual or an on-site HR resource, or providing advice via our HR support line, we'll help you resolve whatever human resources challenge your business is facing. Thanks, and see you soon.